Hey folks, I've just finished up my podcast recording with Lisa Berkovitz, and Lisa and I sit down and have an amazing conversation about the emerging economy, the soul economy, and what the world starts to look like as we bring our soul's gifts into the world. We discuss some of the constructs we're letting go of in the way of the world that humanity is outgrowing and that each of us individually are outgrowing. Things like not enoughness and scarcity. We also talk about our embodied practices and how we go about walking through the world in the way that we do when we let go of the need to know and the need to control and start to let the soul lead or let the light lead. We chat about what's coming online in terms of the emerging economy, what we're sensing and seeing more and more in embodied examples of people who are all in showing up as embodied examples of a new way of being. And we do some listening towards the end of the episode. Lisa and I really drop into a receptivity space and listen for guidance and invitations and practice what we were talking about some a bit earlier in the podcast, speaking about. We actually go into listening together, and there's an opportunity for you to experience what it's like for Lisa and me to be in relationship from a place of listening for guidance and invitations and wisdom. So really excited to introduce you to Lisa and look forward to having you enjoy this episode. We did mention this in the episode and I'll mention it again. Lisa and I are both available to support those of you who feel like you've outgrown the life you've been living and are wanting to walk through the world in a new way. It seems Lisa and I both are shifting more and more towards people who are really, really in on the journey with commitment, devotion, a sense of being all in. I can't not do this. I can't not be this. Gonna give whatever's asked of me to realize the potential and the clear light trajectory that is here for me and always has been here for me in this life. So please feel free to reach out to me, to reach out to Lisa. Her website is letsoullead.com. You can find me on forestbwilson.com or lightinaction.co are the two best websites to find me. I'm pretty much Forrest B. Wilson on everything. Facebook, Instagram, website is forestbwilson.com. Email is forestbwilson@gmail. So I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear how this episode is for you to hear, any impact of what it's like to receive. And yeah, if there's any way we can be of support, do let me know. I welcome you with open arms and a full heart to enjoy this podcast recording with Lisa. Thanks for being here. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Boris. Thank you so much. Really grateful to be here. Excited to be here.
I feel a lot of joy having you here. I'm excited this has worked out and we get to be together in this way.
Me too.
So we've met at least in this lifetime in the past few weeks, maybe month, introduced by our friend Lars King. Thanks to Lars for
shout out to Lars
for connecting us. Yeah. And it's one of those funny connections of in clock time. I guess we've known each other less than a month and I feel like we've traversed so many terrains of consciousness and lines of explorations. I feel like I've known you my whole life already. So
it's true. It's true. Multidimensional, yeah. Instantly.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. And I've just been so lit up getting to know you and getting to hang out and explore all the resonant connections and passions we have. So I'm excited to get to deepen in that and broaden in that and elevate into that together today in whatever shape that takes.
Amazing. Me too.
Yeah. So as I listen for guidance or an invitation for what we could explore here together today, the first thing that just jumps instantaneously is the phrase, the soul economy. And I know that's something we've connected on before, but we might just get going by me asking you, what does the soul economy mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we touched on this in our last meeting, but in this moment, the way I would express it is the way nature works is the way the soul economy to me works. So the soul economy for me is really when each of us is true to what lights us up, what's actually written in our soul's blueprint. I do believe we each have a very specific blueprint that we're here to fulfill. It can look a lot of different ways, but the essence of it, the core of it, the mission, the purpose is coded and is a guiding force. And so as each of us, to me, is true to that, following what lights us up, following what brings us joy, and sharing our gifts in that way through the world, to the world, through whatever way is really alive, then we, if with each of us being true to that, we create in our individual soul mission, in aggregate, our soul economy starts to emerge into form. It's that symphony, that the way that nature works, there is not anything wasted. The ecosystem is perfect, in balance, in harmony, every part having its role. And so to me, that soul economy is where people are actually doing what they love, and we're exchanging those gifts. And so it's an evolution of economy the way we've known it. We still have money in our reality now. So at the moment, it could think of it like receiving abundance for our gifts. So being true to that blueprint, being true to our joy, sharing those gifts, receiving abundance for it. And as more and more of us do it, we have an emerging economy that is no longer driven by bottom line only. Abundance is part of the mix. That's our divine birthright. But it's much more organic and rich and fulfilling, and we get to share more of the best of us with each other. So let's just start there. There's so many things, so many things I can say, but yeah, that's what sort of were the first words that come to me about it.
I notice as you're talking, my hands kind of land on my chest and are pulling apart from the center. Like it feels like my heart center's opening as I'm hearing you, and just I feel like I'm blossoming out and taking up more of this more space. So
nice. I know you have a very parallel knowing, belief, perspective, view of the world that we're really, I mean, maybe you want to speak to yours, how you see the soul economy, how you would express that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I feel really called to ask you, you use the phrase what lights you up several times, and I want to ask you, what's lighting you up the most right now? What's lighting you up right now?
Well, this conversation, it feels for me like there is a wave of us stepping into the highest expression of what we're here for. And most of the people that I work with are actually pretty far along on their soul's journey, their spiritual path. They've been devoted to that, made some hard choices along the way, and also have quite a bit of experience in the work world, business world, whether they're executives or entrepreneurs. And so they can often, myself included, be working already in what they love, being in great expression of the soul's gifts and receiving abundance for that. And there's a whole wave ready to step into a really highly surrendered to the next level version of what we're here for. And so that's lighting me up. You know, I often say my soul's work is helping others fulfill their soul's work. And so that's what I've been doing, but there's a threshold now. Mm-hmm. So what's lighting me up is my own stepping into that next expression and serving others and stepping into their next expression, which feels very pure and very deep and very ancient and very, very future in the now, sort of it's all of it at once. So there's something very activating right now, very, very activating and accelerated in this moment to move into what that is for each of us. That's what's lighting me up. So not just my own, but like I'm seeing it all around me. Exciting time for that.
Yeah, it seems there's more and more folks every day who are going, you know, I can't not sort of give in and get going in this new trajectory. Like whatever I've been doing, I can't live that life anymore. I've outgrown the life I've been in. I don't know what's going to happen now, but that's the way I'm going, kind of
totally. Totally. Yeah. Whether it's locations, it's in life, in relationships, in work, even when things are going really well, things are successful, making money, but it's like, no, this has expired. This is part of a previous iteration of me, version of me, a previous version of my contract here, soul contract here. So yeah, so a lot of that going on, and a lot of, you know, and that can bring up all kinds of stuff because there's a listening that has to happen, such a deep letting go that has to happen, that's called for. I mean, everybody's got choice whether there's no have to's, but it can get pretty uncomfortable if you're not willing to listen. So it can feel like a have to, it can feel like an imperative, like you have to, it feels like you have to. And so it brings a lot of stuff. It's exciting and it's confronting, and you know, it can be painful with some of the things that have to be let go. And yeah, if you've been on this path for a while, we're not strangers to letting go, but we're not strangers to the challenges of letting go, but it doesn't necessarily mean you don't still have to move through what comes along with that each time. So there's a lot happening.
Yeah, it brings up this thing I often say of don't fight what's on its way out the door. There's a grieving process that happens as we're letting go of the life that's not for us anymore. And oftentimes there can be some moments that are quite abrupt. I mean, a business breaks down, a relationship breaks down, a contract breaks down, something that, you know, I had some attachment into and was fighting. I think there was a lot of fighting, a lot of efforting, a lot of pushing, a lot of striving, a lot of almost war kind of energy to make it happen. And as there's more and more surrendering and letting go into the light, those things can't make the trip. They just fall away. And there's a genuine grieving process that happens. I mean, there's not only the project, but there's an entire identity and way of being and way of orienting to life and energy that sources those kinds of opportunities that are no longer for us. And I feel care for the grieving process of, as we're letting go of these old versions of ourselves or old patterns or old frameworks and orientations and perspectives, the joy and the grief, right? The bliss and the loss in that letting go process.
Absolutely. Yeah, well said. And you use the word surrender. Seems to be the word of the moment.
Yeah.
Surrender more. Surrender more. I am surrendered. No, there's more. Surrender more. Yeah.
And so as you're listening right now, I'm aware you and I do quite a bit of listening practices. What are you hearing?
The one thing that comes to my awareness immediately is the perfection of this process, the divine order of it, because in that grieving, in that dying off, there is always divine order. And it takes that cultivation of seeing through the soul's eyes or through divine eyes to really see that to be able to let go, to be able to soften in the midst of it, requires holding that higher perspective. And for me, it's often so easy to see for others. I can, in a moment, see how a challenging passage is serving. And I'm always cultivating the mastery to do it even better for myself as well. As we say, sometimes it's easier to see for others than for ourselves. So yeah, this is the perfection, like that's really in my awareness right now, that there is divine order, no matter what the breaking down seems to be, no matter how much the parts of us that are scared to let go, that are scared things won't work out, or that there won't be enough, or whatever the version is of the holding on, or the sadness, the grieving, that there is a grace to it if we allow it. So that was the first thing that came, like, in order to surrender that fully, it requires an enormous amount of faith, obviously. But there's such depth and nuance to the faith that's required at this point, it seems to me.
I'm simultaneously letting what you're sharing impact me, and I'm also hearing my invitation in this moment. I got a few things as you were speaking, and you know, right after the invitation I had, which the first one is let the light lead. Like this, the awareness of the luminosity of the void. Oftentimes when we're letting go and releasing, we end up in this emptiness, this void. And it turns out the void and the emptiness is luminous, and we can let the light lead. I actually got this on a collective scale, like, because we're talking about the soul economy. And my embodied somatic felt sense is that as a species and as an economy, we're getting closer and closer to the point where we're getting ready to collectively let go of some pretty big frameworks.
100%.
Yeah, that have been the source of the way we do things in modernity. And for me, there's an invitation, because when we let go of that and there's just emptiness, it can be incredibly unstable for any of us who ever just let go into the void. It's just like, holy crap, this is pure possibility. And also there's nothing holding us here. And so as a collective, as a species, as a humanity, and as an economy, how do we navigate between these two times, between these two worlds, the world we've been in and the world that's emerging, the emerging economy, as you named, and we say often. And for me, the guidance is let the light lead. Actually turn, there's an invitation to acknowledge and grieve and celebrate what we're letting go of, but actually to make a subtle shift from foregrounding what we're letting go of and releasing to actually foregrounding the light and letting the light lead through us and as us in the soul economy. And I know your website is Let Soul Lead, so that feels like a nice segue into your work for sure.
Yeah. No, beautifully said. And yes, so that's sort of the tagline in my business has been Let Soul Lead since 2010. That's really how I see it. Sometimes I say, you know, soul as CEO, mind as COO, you know, the systems that are crumbling that you're referencing are mind led. And
disembodied, disembodied, mind led, disembodied,
conditioning led, mind led, ego led, however one might want to say it. And so for me, that is the shift. That as each of us is committed to letting the soul lead, well, what does it look like? I often liken it to a change in operating system. If you were shifting from PC to Mac, then it's an entirely different operating system. It doesn't work the same way. And it's the same in this case, what we're used to. And especially if you have a strong mind like I do, which got me all kinds of success in the first part of my life. Was revered, it was wanted, it was valued, so and rewarded heavily, right? So making that shift from functioning in that way to letting soul lead or letting the light lead, to be able to surrender that much and to make decisions, to make soul-led decisions, soul-level decisions in our businesses and in our lives, that for me is the way out, to be able to listen, to be able to hear and trust and act on what the divine is saying. So, you know, use whatever word you like, soul, light, God, divine, love, they're to me interchangeable. How connected are we through the heart, through our whole being, you know, very attuned to the messages coming from the body. We talked about, you know, I found a lot of value in human design, which is very body-based, knowing what design you are and like listening and making decisions from the body, making the decisions from inspiration and joy from the heart, all different ways. I mean, I'm kind of talking about it at a macro level, but it's, I have the same perspective as you. We're making system level change. The old systems are collapsing rapidly. And so this emerging soul economy is one that has stability. It has integrity, fundamental integrity. It's not built on quicksand. It's built on something lasting or eternal even. So yeah, letting the light lead, letting soul lead, it's the way out to what's coming into form, the way out of what's collapsing and into what's coming into form, which is just sounds so much more fun It's so much more fulfilling. It's so much more truly abundant. Some people have lots and lots of abundance, financial and otherwise, and it's still not enough, right? That's like classic.
That right there seems to be one of the biggest shifts in the old pattern of being let go of, is that it's sourced from not enoughness. And in the economy and the way of being in the world that's coming online, this new operating system, there is fundamental enoughness.
Yeah.
It's one of the core constructs that I'm seeing is shifting, that births the whole way we orient to reality. I have a friend, his name's Jim Anderson. And one time he helped me see that the entire fast food industry is sourced from not enough consciousness. Like, not enough money, so there's a dollar menu. Not enough fries, so we supersize them. Not enough time, so there's a drive-thru. You know, it's just
That's a good way to express it. It's true. Yeah, it's true.
And so the world you and I are playing in actively and also inviting people into is, how do we orient with each other, be in relationship with each other, exchange with each other? An economy, a marketplace emerges out of the actions and interactions of individuals. So what happens between us and as us when we're sourced from fundamental enoughness?
And that, you know, you're speaking to levels of consciousness. It's the simplicity of it, that the risk of sounding too simplistic or cliche, it's literally moving out of separation consciousness and into unity consciousness. Lack, or fundamental lack, never a separation, never enough, never going to be enough. We're never going to be enough. There's never going to be enough. The whole system built on that, into literally the kingdom of heaven on earth. Wholeness. It's a different consciousness completely. And so what happens when we're coming from that? Oh my goodness. I like to say, how good can you stand it? Some people say it differently. I've heard it said by other people, but that was something, any variation on that statement, like, how good are you willing to let it get? That's what we're moving into, where it's just exponentially, there's no limit in that realm. We get to give from the overflow, right? We get to give from the fullness of who we are, from love and joy, and that getting lost in what we love when that, you know, losing track of time happens, and because we're creating whatever it is that we do, we're just in that. The fullness and the richness and the joy and the deliciousness of being in what we do. And then we start exchanging that. I mean, to me, that those are the best products and services on the planet. They're literally infused with that consciousness. With
it. Yeah, totally.
So like, how much better is that meal going to taste?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Or how much joy is that car going to be to drive, or that kayak trip going to be to take, or that home that was crafted in that way by that architect and designer. It applies to everything, literally applies to everything. So what happens when we start interacting like that? Like, we talked about this. I think of it like a global party. It's a celebration. It's a celebration of the love of what we each do, which is stemming from the fullness of who we are, of course. That beingness flows into the doingness, that connection with the soul, the wholeness of the soul, the purity of what we love. Oh, it's, you know, I mean, I can't wait to see what happens. You know, it's just going to be more and more delicious and rich and full and fun.
And this is part of what you're up to right now and have been for a while, is traveling the world and finding these kayak rental companies or restaurants or places to stay that are sourced from and infused with this vibrant, vivacious, juicy consciousness of the emerging paradigm. And you actually are supporting people connecting to concrete places on planet Earth where you can go and get a taste of what's here already and what's to come more fully. Yeah. Am I tracking you? Yeah,
perfectly. Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's something that I was doing even when I was way back in the 90s, when I was in my corporate life and I traveled a lot for my work. always was everywhere I went, I would always tack on a few days and stay wherever I got sent to lots of great places. And I would always tack on a few days and I would find these amazing things and I would always recommend them to people. I'd have these amazing experiences myself and I would recommend them to others. And when I left that world, I realized over the course of my own journey that that's what lights me up the most is actually people being that so in love with what they do that it ends up in what they create. And then we get to enjoy that. And that actually was my own journey. When I was in the corporate world, I was really well paid to do what I did. And I had decent corporate jobs. And I was still helping sell stuff that wasn't deeply meaningful for me. And when I left, I started doing all the things I wanted to do that was like so pure to my heart and soul, but I was funding it myself with my savings. So that became the burning question for me is how do I bring these two together and get paid to do what I love abundantly? And so I didn't realize until later when that kind of became my burning passion, what I was figuring out for myself and then ultimately ended up helping others with. At the beginning, it was with early stage people, but then later it was like, how do you go deeper into your passion than you've ever been? How do you do more of what you love? How do you open to more abundance for that? That I didn't quite realize that that hobby that I had of finding these businesses wherever I was traveling, just for the fun of it, was actually examples in the physical world, real life proof. That there is a direct connection between that alignment with what you love and what is truly in your soul's blueprint and thriving at that and blessing people with it. And I didn't realize that they were so closely connected until later. So yeah, I still do that now. I travel, I find these places. It's one of my greatest joys to go to a new place and, you know, I have kind of my own method, like way of finding these places. And then I end up sharing them, whether it's with family and friends or with clients and bringing them on flow days, soul flow days, VIP type immersions or weekends. So it's become like a context in which one can become even more more tapped in, more connected, more expanding into one's own piece of the soul economy. Because we all each have a piece of that puzzle. So yeah, there's a lot there. Long way to answer your question. Yeah, I love it so much.
Are you open to sharing more about your method for how you discover these places and offerings and people and products?
Yeah, well, yes, it depends on where, but you know, typically I would start with people that I know who are there or who have been there, who are of a similar frequency, you know, similar consciousness, who would be into the same kinds of things, who would recognize the value and the power of a place that is like a little vortex of love. These businesses, whatever they are, small or large, they're vortexes of love, literally on the planet. They're holding a certain frequency. To me, they're like, they are anchoring this higher consciousness of the soul economy on the planet. And there's lots already out there. So I'm always asking. So I just recently went to Mexico City, as you know, and I had three different people that I was able to ask. And I kind of took the recommendations that they had for me. I kind of map them out, like I sort of see where they are, what category they're in, and I will walk and I'll tend to kind of use them as little like tour maps in a way. Like if I had for this trip, I probably had 25 restaurant recommendations. So I didn't eat at all 25, but I got around to walk past a bunch of them. And in just the like having this like beginning of a map of lights. I think of them like lights. They're kind of beaconing and radiating this energy. And so I'm like, I'm just delighted to even see them, even if I'm don't have the time to try them all yet. And some of them will jump out at me like, you have to go here. And then in that process, I ended up discovering others. So it's partially like having a bit of a beginning and then more just pops up like organically, it'll pop up. if I don't have that kind of reference, if I don't have people to ask, I will just wander myself and end up finding places. And then if it's a cafe, then they've got a bulletin board. And then there's, I mean, I can find, it's not just restaurants and things like that. It's like, hey, what's going on here? Where do I want to take a class? Where do I want to, there's ecstatic dance going on. There's always things going on. So if you go to the organic grocery, or I'll always look up, if I'm using some kind of directory, I'll look up organic. That'll often lead me to some, not always, it's not a given. So I just have these, like, it's people, it's just wandering by myself. It's certain places that are hubs for other activities. So you can always ask someone there, or so I'm always finding the people who are kind of in that consciousness, and somehow it just always works. I'm just always finding the right people in the right places. Yeah, I was at an Airbnb once, and the people at the, oh no, it was in Eastern Canada. So it was back in the day when there were still bed and breakfasts, and people would come down in the morning and eat breakfast together around the table. And it was a bed and breakfast in Eastern Canada. It was Newfoundland, actually, and my first time there. And there was a couple at the table, and they had booked a whale watching trip that they couldn't go on. Something happened and they had to leave early. And it was an actual, like, world-class researcher who took people out on his research boat, which was like a 13-person Zodiac. This was not a tour. This was a real-life researcher who loved these animals and took people along with them while they did their research. They introduced us. The whales had names. They came around and said hello to us. One breached, like, literally like 20 feet from our boat. And the captain was like, ha ha ha, you know, I forget the name of the whale saying, you know, that's the whale saying hi. You know, he looked at us with his eye, you know, just like magical experiences with, you know, someone who, how, what an amazing idea. This is what he does all day, every day, to research these creatures. I'd never seen a whale before. I literally started to cry. It was just so beautiful. So these serendipitous, synchronous, like, I ended up, that's how I ended up on the boat, was this couple at my breakfast table, you know, couldn't go on their trip. So just, there's been so many ways, but there was always a little bit of a starting method that I find the people to ask, basically, as for starter points.
Yeah, my hands are coming to my body again. I notice I'm dropping even deeper into the body and breathing as you're talking, because my compass walking around and finding these things is often very, very embodied. I mean, you've seen this experientially. You and I walked through San Pancho, Mexico together, and I was resonance testing with my body the whole day. Totally. What street to turn down, what place to go into, what to order to eat.
Totally.
But you've seen it in action.
Totally. Yeah, totally. It's so awesome. Walking compass, body compass, soul compass. Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah, it was funny to see the difference before you knew what I was doing and then after. Like, why is this guy waving his arm around in the air? What's going on?
I was not thinking.
Yeah, I know. I'm making that up. I'm making that up. I claim that. I claim that.
Yeah, super fun.
So I want to ask you about the, like, the cutting edge or the point that's most palpable for you right now, because I know you've been doing this work for years now, and I know it's had several iterations. And is it true that right now you are having a transformational, iterative, like a new shedding of the snake skin and an even more refined, nuanced, clear expression of your work coming online? Is that, that's true? Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
So I want to come to that, and I want to ask you about, you know, as you're in this process of shedding another layer and refining even more, what are you noticing in the clarity of what's to come?
Yeah. I'm noticing my own next level of devotion and integrity to what brings me joy and the simplicity that I want to create with. I have a saying, soul is simple. I've noticed that when things start to get too complex, I know my mind is in the way. And so there's a combination of simplicity, integrity to the joy, and a devotion to the highest vision, which maybe previously seemed further out. I've had this vision, you know, for a long time. The vision that I see, it's like a legacy kind of vision. It's going to take years to fully live into it. And now this is the time of I'm noticing what seemed further out seems now imminent. It seems available. It seems doable. It seems like another veil has come down. And so moving from that seems easy, accessible, simple, more listening, less doing. More listening before the doing, more being okay with disappointing people. Those are some of the themes really having to, and as we talked about before, just like moving from the soul, listening to the soul's cues and ignoring everything else. Also body cleansing and health, next level of that. So the instrument through which the messages come receives the messages more easily or can recognize the messages more easily. So I don't know if I'm answering the question the way you intended it, but there's themes that I'm noticing in this sort of next level.
Yeah.
And those are some of the themes, some of the core themes.
Yeah, the way it lands in me is like what's required for this next iteration. And it's interesting because I've heard the word joy so many times from you. And it feels like to me, joy is such a source of fuel and inspiration. And it feeds into this clarity and integrity with the light or our most clear, I forget the language you use. I want to use your word, but the way it shows up for me is like our most clear light trajectory. There's this threshold to me that I've experienced how what you're sharing lands in me of there's a threshold of these are the internal switches we need to flip or the internal drivers that need to come on or the threshold we need to go through to make it into this next iteration, the next source of fuel, the next way of being, the next octave of, you know, the next level of consciousness, the next octave of illumination is this full on devotion, is this integrity to the clear light trajectory, is the not other than thisness experience of even when an opportunity is, for me personally, I mean, you can set the bar wherever you want, but for me personally, even if something's 95%, it's not 100%. And so there's the commitment that's required to get through that next threshold is 100% in my experience. And I'm just talking about my personal reality right now, but there seems to be a threshold there that there's these certain drivers that need to click on or devotional commitments that need to be made, agreements of this is how much integrity or how much it provides the stability to run that much energetic throughput through your system is to have these foundational pieces put in place.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me as you're speaking too of another theme, which is turning away from the lies that the mind tells, so many lies, and also it's a kind of identity shift really into like, I'm actually, there is no one else who can do what I'm here to do. I literally was made for this. You were literally made for what you are here for. And even though we have so many parallels and alignments, it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's your flavor. I like to say your flavor of God. It's like you have your flavor of God. Oh, I have my flavor of God. Right. So there's this like turning away from the lies that the mind has told, the old stories. and accepting the sacredness of the way we're each divinely designed, you know, to actually accept, like, God has my back. However you relate to the source, God, divine, whatever that relationship is, that seems to be part of it too for me. This theme of like getting closer to the divine than I've ever been and being the beloved, being chosen, not holding that small idea of who I thought I was before, or listening to lies about what I'm not capable of, or how I'm not ready yet, or that I can't somehow fulfill it, or whatever the old stories are, right? We all have our own versions of what that is. But actually, like, no, I'm precious. And that's a theme too, right? So what you're talking about, this like, these requirements, you know, it's getting out of the way of the divine working through us as instruments.
I so deeply appreciate hearing you claim these pieces in this way, like, I'm the beloved, I'm chosen, you know, or another one we were talking to earlier, I am enough. There's a, or I am healed. That's one I had at one point. I mean, we're always healing all the time. And there was a moment of, wow, I've actually done the work and everything to feel healed. There's a completion that set in. And as you were speaking, I was just getting this felt sense of, you know, as more and more of us do this and we enter what I call the market of one, right? It's like when the more we do this work, you're in a market of one person. There is no competition. Nobody can do what I do or what you do the way I do it or the way you do it. It is your own flavor of God, to use your words. And then the most beautiful aspect of this experience for me and my experience is we start to be able to take at least as much joy and pleasure and celebration in the success of others as ourselves, because we're not coming from this scarcity and this lack. I mean, the groups of people I get to spend time with now who I get to genuinely celebrate their successes at a level that it, you wouldn't know the difference between their success and my success, and vice versa, that I get to be celebrated so profoundly. We have a group chat that we call the thank you money chat, and a bunch of my friends and I are in there. And every time one of us makes money or has a business success, gets a deal, we put in the chat, hey, such and such happens, and everyone just to the moon. Everyone just is so lit up for everybody else's successes and for our own successes.
Love it.
So I'm sharing the practical consequences of this shift in us. And as we find more and more other folks who've made these shifts, we get to have experiences like this together.
I love it. That's so fun. I love it. Yeah. And I'm still on the journey. I'm practicing letting this be more and more true for me all the time. And that's one other theme that comes in, is I actually had to shut off a lot of input from others taking in information. I've gone through various seasons of getting a very clear message, stop reading, because it would activate my mind and other people's. I'm very psychic, very open. So for me, this last chapter, that's one more theme, is just having to listen, hear, trust my own authority, trust my own knowing, quiet things down. Doesn't matter how much I love or respect any of the wisdom around me. I've read a Library of Congress worth of books, taken in so much wisdom over the years, and it had its right place and time and helped shape me. You know, how can you spend $20 and change your entire life? Like, how miraculous is that, what a book can do, right? And there comes a season where it's like, I have to actually listen to myself and listen to the divine connection that I have directly. So I'm not sounding like anybody else, being like anybody. I'm being what I was designed to be. And so that's, you know, a part of this time right now as well, in this stage or this season. So I wanted to mention that too, because as you were speaking, it's true. It's like category of one. There is no competition. Literally nobody can be who you are. Like, what's the unique thing you've been given? And I know you've been, you know, you've definitely been creating a lot of space for your own listening too. I just see it as, and I'm not saying there isn't a place for mentoring, or definitely still had some mentoring. Not that that can't shorten a curve, a learning curve, or it's not either or. It's just, we've been talking about what's happening at this phase, this threshold, and that seems to be an important one to me. For me.
Yeah. And the mentoring grows up in my experience. I mean, you go from mentors who tell you what to do, right? I mean, when I was younger and when in my teenage years, for example, you go find a billionaire and say, how do I make $1 billion? And they tell you how to make $1 billion and you go try and do what they tell you, right? Yeah. Or this kind of thing. And then as we mature in our process and continue to grow and evolve, we're looking for embodied examples of what it is we're aspiring into. People who are actually living the life that we want to live and able to hold space for us to unfold in a way that we're trusting our inner knowing, our inner teacher, our inner guidance, our inner wisdom, and can do things in the unseen worlds to help us become more liberated and freed and invite practices and processes and frameworks and things. And it does seem to have a trajectory of, I mean, sometimes we need that functional construct for our mind. We need that new, you know, maybe somebody's listening to this and going, gosh, I just needed the soul economy, right? I just needed this way to describe this object that I've been feeling in awareness and haven't been able to name. And now I can really implement that in my meaning-making system, speech, ways of communication. Like, that can have a huge impact. That seems to me a less often occurrence these days than being deeply present, being with what is, noticing where the invitations and the guidance are, clearing out the channel, the body, the systems, the energy to be available for more clear information to come in. And then how are we in relationship with the universe, with all of reality, with everything manifest, unmanifest, other people, synchronicities, right? How are we able to read the signs? Are we able to take in the experience that's happening and actually, allow it to impact us, so we show up differently and be in relationships. So these are the ways that mentorship grows up, is what I'm just saying a lot of words towards that one concept.
Yeah. Oh, makes perfect sense. Yeah, it does. And then there's the inner mentor.
Yeah. The inner teacher, the capital T teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very exciting time to be alive. Not easy. At all times, but exciting and unmatched, unparalleled. I don't think we've ever been in a position like this.
Each of us and all of us. I want to speak to just also my own experience of, I mean, for years I read a book a week, or sometimes a book a day, or sometimes a book a month. I mean, it changed, but I read a lot, you know, it was. Yeah. And had a concrete book I was reading, audiobooks I was reading, podcasts, YouTube videos. I mean, just so much information. And I use this metaphor a lot. It's like a lot of folks who come to me are like a browser with too many tabs open, right? And the thing to become aware of is that we're opening more tabs when we do that, to see the positive. And my understanding for myself has been the positive intent is self-soothing. It's like, okay, I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to listen to a podcast or something to self-soothe and feel better.
Right.
And at the same time, we're already a browser with too many tabs open, and we're self-soothing in a way that's creating more of a queue of information that we then need to go and integrate or embody or release or process, transmute, so do something with. That's a big data log of things in the mind to sort of work through. And so I just wanted to speak to that, because that's a really, really common pain point or challenge or like stuck point that I had personally. And also I find in people is like being in information overload, browser with too many tabs open, and then continuing to open more tabs in an attempt to self-soothe and not realizing that's actually perpetuating and even sometimes worsening the symptoms, I guess might be the word or something.
I'm really glad you said that, because it definitely, I mentioned simplifying as that, like soul is simple, like simplifying is so central to this process, closing those tabs, reducing the input, slowing things down so that there's space for listening. I'm so grateful I get to do what I do, because when those leaders come into my space, I feel, because it's just so simple for me, I just hold a space where they can hear their own truth, where we quiet down all the stuff that's noisy. Just let it dissolve. And then what's left is the obvious. There's nothing to produce. There's no effort to know what's next when there's enough quieting down and simplification. I don't know whose example this is, but it's like a beach ball being held under the water. Like, it'll rise by itself if you let it go. If there's the, don't have to work, it'll rise by itself to the surface, you know? So yeah, it's just, everything's available here and now. Yeah. We just allow that simplification, that quieting down, that slowing down. And I see it every day. Just get quiet enough and then boom. Oh, you have your own answers. Oh, cool. You know, it's just amazing. So we have so much wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's right here all the time. The soul always knows. We always know what's true for us, what's right for us.
I'm getting a pretty big hit of the quiet right now. As it's coming online more and more fully, I'm wondering what wisdom or guidance or invitations we might receive here together. Mm-hmm. If that's something you're open to.
Let's see. Yeah. Yep, just listen. I'll offer something that's come in as I just got quiet, sat at your invitation with more listening, more quiet. Immediately I was aware of, oh, there's a little tension in my body. I softened it. And it reminded me how many times I've had the example remembered that in moments when I wasn't trying at all, just completely relaxed, the proverbial idea in the shower thing, that just being relaxed and not efforting, having a fun day, you know, being in the shower, completely relaxed, on a vacation, just being completely relaxed and doing something on a Saturday, wherever. That's when ideas drop in, knowings drop in. Like, that's the same idea said a different way. Just soften. If we could just relax more. Mm-hmm. If we could just enjoy more, we would always know what's next. All the efforting actually repels the simplicity and the ease of inspiration and knowing and guidance. That drops in right away.
What's coming in for me is, first of all, yes, I'm just going right with the stream that you're sharing here. Also bringing in our previous conversation around the global dance parties and the caravans, but having this guidance keeps coming in our we space when you and I are hanging out around inviting people to get together, you know, everybody meet here at this cafe in Mexico City at this time, whether you're flying in from Lisbon or San Francisco or San Pablo, I think I just went mm-hmm. for the city in Brazil and Mexico simultaneously, San Paulo and San Pancho simultaneously. And for all of us to be able to be in the mystery together, you know, a consciousness caravan, an invitation to get together and follow the aliveness in the moment without a pre-constructed agenda, and to be able to stay in the state of relaxation and receiving and listening and ease in a higher, potentially higher stress environment, or an environment that's, we're more out in the mystery of, and in the unknown, than we might be in the routine of our life. So I'm feeling these threads coming together in our shared space again.
So fun.
So if anyone's listening to this and you're interested in spending a day or a weekend with me and or Lisa, reach out to us and let us know you're wanting a, what'd you call it, a flow day earlier?
Yeah, a flow day, a soul flow day.
Soul flow day, or a consciousness caravan would be a bigger group of us, maybe 20 or 30 of us, and let us know so we can get a pulse if there's juice for this.
Love it. I've done that with clients in different locations in the world, and some of the consistent feedback I get is how wonderful it is to completely surrender control, because they don't know anything about what we're going to do. I don't either. What we're going to do, where we're going to go. And it always works out perfectly, and the perfect soul guidance comes in. And so you're talking about, you know, even doing that in a larger group, doing that together, there is so much richness available in not having a, just not knowing what's going to happen, being completely open to guidance in the moment. It has a lot of richness on so many levels to offer.
Yeah, and I feel so compelled to say this is actually the beginning. There's an experience of letting go of everything we've ever done. And you know, I've traveled the world for years without having an agenda, going with the flow, living in a flow day, day after day. And it seems like the end of the journey almost is you've outgrown everything you've been doing and you jump into the unknown and live in the mystery. And that's actually the beginning. You want to talk about the soul economy, the emerging economy. We started running a few years ago an organization, a business out of this. What if we all got together and we didn't have an agenda as a company? What would happen? That was version 0.0 or 1.0 of an experiment that's led into actually how we run our consciousness incubator now. I mean, the initial go we did, we had a lot of great projects. We made a huge impact. We didn't really make much money. There was so much to be learned, but this is actually the beginning, jumping out into the deep end and being in the mystery and in the unknown. That's the start, right? There's universes to be explored out here. I want to say out here for some reason. There's universes to be explored out here in the world of not knowing. When we let go of that need to know and control, that's not the end. That's the beginning. I mean, it is end, but it's also the beginning. It's the start.
Amen. That's when you give, you're really giving the wheel over, handing the wheel over.
Yeah.
Get in the back seat.
That's why I say I feel care for folks, because it's jumping out in the void, jumping out in the deep end, and it's jumping out in the deep end and not knowing how to swim yet, and or jumping out of the bird's nest is the metaphor I use a lot, and you're just plummeting at the ground. Fortunately, there is no ground, but you're plummeting at the ground and you're not strong enough to fly yet. I mean, it's in you, it's innate in you, it's there, and you got to flap your wings and have the strength to fly. And so that's when I say it's the beginning. There's an opening to larger wholes and the animating energetics of life and the universe, and opening into an entire new way of being, an entire different way of just walking through the world in daily life. Like you said, where the soul is the CEO and the mind is the COO. I mean, there is another way I put it a lot, right, is that the heart is sourcing the mind. The thoughts we create in our brain are sourced from our heart mind. And we're walking through the world as embodied examples of heaven on earth. I mean, we are all walking around in the Garden of Eden all the time, whether or not we're aware of it. It's a state of consciousness. And the invitation here is really to open up and be a part of the emerging economy that is already here and always has been. And there's more and more folks becoming aware that it's already here, and we are collectively constructing, collectively manifesting reality as a product of this shared awareness.
Absolutely. You know, that's a call for whoever's listening and feeling into that for themselves. If that resonates as true, then the invitation is, okay, where are you in emerging in this shared economy? Where are you in relation to your own soul blueprint, what you're here for? Are you being called into your next level of it? Are you being asked to listen more? Are you being asked to let go of something, even if it's working? Where are you? Where are you on this journey? And what is being asked of you potentially at this time so that you are contributing the fullness of what you were designed for?
And what kind of support do you need right now to take the leap? How can we support you? How can I, I'll speak for myself. How can I support you? I hear you now. How can we support you? Yeah. This clear light trajectory just keeps coming in. What is the thing we can't not do? Who is it we can't not be? What's the itch we have to scratch? I don't know how much I like that, but that's how it's coming. You know, what's the itch we have to scratch?
And well, you know, it's a great metaphor because it is almost so primal. It's coded right into our DNA. It's so fundamental to who we're here to be that it is like having to scratch an itch, and so satisfying when you do, because there will be no true fulfillment without doing what you're here for at the level you're here to do it. Is kind of a perspective I hold. Like, not kind of, it's a perspective I hold that so far seems true to me. Like, I feel that divine discontent when I know I'm not doing the thing I'm designed for at the level I'm designed for it. It's deep. It's coded into the DNA. It's there. It can't be ignored. Ignore it at your own peril, because it'll just become louder and more uncomfortable. And there comes a point where that switchover happens, where it doesn't matter what fears are there, what anxieties, insecurities, apparent obstacles. Like, at some point, it's just like, I don't care. This, I have to do the thing that I'm here for at the level I'm here for it. That's uncomfortable, but staying here is even more uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I like that we've been approaching this from the listening orientation and from the receptivity one, because the other thing I find so much in those of us who've been raised in Western culture is we have a lot of development in our action drivers and our yang energy. When I first started working on my receptivity drivers, I'm not sure I had ever even experienced receptivity before. I was just yang, 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 yang my whole life. Do, go, 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 you know, in sports and business and entrepreneurship and whatever. And we are here now together in real time, listening the future into being. And that's the opportunity as well, is we can stop and we can take a breath and we can let the future come into us. And when we turn that arrow of time, you know, most of us see an arrow, a linear arrow of time. The past is on a line that hits the present moment that goes out into the future. And the more we do this and start living in the moment, living in the eternity of right now, just being right here, right now, it is never not now. It is never not now. And so we can listen the future into this moment. We can receive our future into now. And that is, for me, been incredibly helpful as a practice to not be too helter-skelter or all over the place or fragmented with what I'm up to, because I can get really inspired and energized and animated and mental about all the possibilities. And that's beautiful. That's not a put down. And the more I shift towards, can I receive this choiceless path is what I've been calling it, or can I receive the clear light trajectory into this moment, there does become a feeling of this is only going to go one way. Like this thing that's coming into me and has always been here for me and is my truest, deepest, most sourced expression, this is never going away. This is here. There's no getting away from this. And everything that's not that clear light just falls away. And we become what we always have been, the truth of what we always have been. And that is the light.
Yep. Boom. Sometimes it takes a bit of the pendulum swinging to the other extreme, because what you described about do, we're so oriented, conditioned to be in the yang energy. And that was certainly my background in corporate life. And when I came into the entrepreneurship journey, doing was the primary thing. My feminine was so atrophied. And so I went like the totally opposite end of the spectrum and did everything to nourish my feminine, but it was the opposite. I didn't want to do anything. And I did that in a big swing right after I left my corporate job. But I have found that there have been seasons where I've been very, you know, more doing oriented. And then I would have to take a season to be more being, more yang, more replenishing, more quiet, less doing. Damn, people don't like it when you, it's confronting to people when you actually like take time out as if it's like not enough, you know, but it's essential to nourish that yin, that listening, that spaciousness, that quiet, you know, and ideally as we live our lives in each day, there's a nice balance, but some seasons are more of one or the other. And that's okay too. That's necessary too. So just wanted to speak that. Like I went from, you know, one extreme of yang to the other extreme of very yin.
Yeah.
And then started to come back to center and can pull on each one as I need it. But some seasons do require more of one or the other.
Yeah, I'm making a little move back and forth in my chair because there's the still point or there's the balance. Like sometimes with these polarities, you can see it as a seesaw, right? Like doing and being on two ends of a polarity. And there is a still point where they're in balance. And there's also when they're feeding each other. Like that's the me rocking back and forth in my chair.
I've got actually, a figure eight going on.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. An infinity loop. My doing is feeding the being is feeding the doing, and they are starting to integrate and harmonize and become one thing. That's the later part of the polarity practice, I suppose. But I started rocking back and forth as you were sharing that. So,
yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, I'm laughing because we said before we started there'd be a moment where we felt complete, and I feel like we just hit it. So
I feel that. I feel that. That's funny. Yeah.
Isn't it funny how you just both know the second it's
totally
so complete? It's like the energy is just done.
Yep. The energy doesn't lie, as the saying goes. Love it. Fantastic.
Are you open to some appreciation?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lisa. I am so profoundly grateful that you have just somehow showed up in my life. Thank you again, Lars, for connecting us. I'm so deeply grateful to you for your presence and the gift of all the conversations we've gotten to have. I'm stunned by the level of resonance and, you know, shared vision that we're holding, shared experience. And feel like even more comfortable in myself being around you because of how easily you talk about what you see wanting to happen for people and for the planet and the economy right now. I also really want to thank you for introducing me to San Pancho and to Yasmina. And I'm just having the best time being here. I'm grateful to you for the day trip that we took and for you bringing me up here and showing me around and helping to discover this place. So thank you so much for being you, for being open and willing and available to be on the podcast and sharing who you are so openly and bringing your passion, bringing your vision, bringing your sense of possibility for what can happen I appreciate the work you're doing in the world and that we get to be doing it together.
Yay. Thank you so much. Really, really receive that with gratitude. And I can say basically the same back to you. Ditto. So, so grateful to Lars. Thank you for having me on your podcast and for all the devotion. I see you so committed, so devoted to your path. So 100 is only what you will accept, and you live that, and I've seen that, and the changes you've made, the growth you've been through, literally the being you have become, that is only forged out of a devoted journey. You have all those alignments, but just your energy, your joyfulness, your curiosity, your playfulness, your co-creation with the divine moment by moment, which is just so fun to be around, your body wisdom and just your generosity. You're a really generous spirit. So thank you so much for being you and showing up in my reality at the perfect time. It's been really fun. More adventures yet to follow.
For sure. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.